If we could, and let's find the book of Colossians in our Bibles together. The book of Colossians, if you don't have a Bible tonight, you'll find one in the pew in front of you. And I want you to follow along as we look at God's Word. It's important to know that this is not our church's opinion or my opinion, but this is thus saith the Lord. And He's our authority for our life. And the Bible teaches us that we need to obey Him and trust in Him. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we want to make sure we focus our lives and our attention upon the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to begin our reading together in verse number 22. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll begin our reading in verse 22. Be in prayer for Brother Marr and his family this evening. They are ministering in Beacon tonight. So pray for them and pray for that dear church as well. The Bible says this in the third chapter of the book of Colossians and verse number 22, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. For whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." In the Bible, this is called the principle of sowing and reaping. The Bible says you reap what you sow. If you reap to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you reap to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. And so the Bible teaches us in this scripture that a man will receive for the seeds that are sown in his life. And the principle that is given to us is that no matter what we do in our life, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do it all to the glory of God. No matter what we do, we are to do it with all of our heart. And in context, it's talking here about earthly servants to serve their masters with all of their heart, do it heartily. Why? Because the principle is, verse 24, "For ye serve the Lord Christ." And no matter where you work, your employer, your employment, the reality is whatever we do, we are to give everything we have because we are light and examples and we want to please our Father which is in heaven. So with the Lord's help tonight, I want to preach this message entitled, "Do It Heartily Unto the Lord." Let's pray together. Help us, Lord. I pray as we look at your word, give us understanding and wisdom, Lord. We need your help tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that I would follow the influence of the Spirit of God as I deliver, Lord, what you would have me to say as prepared and, Lord, prayed over. Heavenly Father, I pray you would help us to be Spirit-filled listeners as well. Lord, that we would be attentive, that we would listen to the direction and guidance of your Spirit within us. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to make good decisions tonight. Lord, decisions that will impact not only our today or our tomorrow, but our eternity. And we give you the honor and glory for all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture that we are to give God, or whatever we do, we are to give the Lord our zeal, our attention. Our passion ought to be found in the fact that our service is to the Lord. And so here, Paul the Apostle, writing to the church at Colossae, encourages them to give God the number one place in whatever they do. Here he tells them to have zeal, to be eager, to find interest in pursuit of something. We think of the word zeal, or we think of with all of our heart, or we think of doing something heartily. We think of serving the Lord with fervor. We think of serving the Lord with being zealous in the things of God. And the Bible teaches us that as Christians, that ought to be our heart. The Bible says that we are saved to be zealous to good works. And so the Christian life, it shouldn't be lived like a question mark. It should be lived with an explanation point. It should be lived with zeal and passion because we get to serve the Lord Christ. And this is the context that we have in this passage of Scripture. In verse 24 here, Paul is writing, "For ye serve the Lord Christ." What he's trying to do is he's trying to change their perspective to the fact that whatever they do, they are to be excited about it and have zeal because they are really serving the Lord in this. God wants us not to be a Christian that is not giving everything we have, but a Christian that is passionate about what we do. Someone said, no matter where you are, be all there. I think that's important. Be all there. Give it everything that you have. Now, God describes himself as a passionate and zealous God. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, we read this expression, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Jesus is described as zealous. In Isaiah 59, verse 17, it's prophesied of him, for he will put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet for salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. The disciples understood Psalm 69, verse 9, as it spoke of the Lord Jesus, for the zeal of thine house have eaten me up. Jesus' passion was his Father's will. In fact, he told his disciples that he was to do the will of his Father, and the meat of his life or the nourishment of his life was to do what God had called him to do. The Bible has much to say about being zealous. The Bible has much to say about our zeal as Christians, our spiritual passion or our fire for the things of God. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. The idea is to take a stick and to stir up a fire and to rekindle that flame once again. And the idea is that Timothy was to get passionate about his Christian life and his calling once again. How many Christians have you met that in conversation it will come up that they used to go to church. They used to serve the Lord. They used to go to Sunday school. They used to be involved in a ministry. But that fire has burned out. And now all that is left is ashes of what used to be. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that we are to live our life heartily, with heart, unto the Lord. Because one day we'll stand before him and give an account of our life. Give God your whole heart. John Wesley was once asked why so many people came to hear him preach. And he said this, I quote, "I just set myself on fire and the people come and watch me burn." He's talking about his zeal for God. He's talking about his passion for preaching. His passion for expressing the word of God. Here was a man that had passion for the things of the Lord. Now, I want to remind you tonight to be careful, because having zeal is what it's not all about. Because there's people with zeal, but their zeal is not for the right things. There's people involved in false religion, and they have zeal. But the Bible teaches us that we need to have zeal according to knowledge. In fact, if we look at Romans chapter 10, we can turn there, Romans chapter 10, and let's think of Paul's life for a moment and his ministry and who he's ministering to. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record," verse number 2, Romans chapter 10, "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." The Bible says the Jews had zeal, but it wasn't the zeal directed at the right things. They were passionate, but they were passionate toward the wrong things. And sometimes you talk to people in false religions, and they are zealous, they are passionate, but you know, we know that passion or zeal doesn't put someone in heaven. The Bible says that they had zeal, but not according to knowledge. Now let's think of Paul's life. Turn to Philippians chapter 3 for a moment, and let's dig into Paul's life even further. Philippians chapter 3. And look what the Bible says here. Philippians chapter 3. in verse number 4. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 4. The Bible says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath thereof, he might trust in the flesh I more. Now, Paul is talking here about salvation. And he's saying, if anyone has confidence, or if anyone has religion, or a set of deeds that he was performing, thinking he was gaining favor with God, Paul says, listen, I'm first on the list. He says, let me just tell you a little bit about my religious background. He said in verse number 5 here, Philippians 3, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. I mean, he was of the highest order of the Pharisees. This was an intelligent man. This was a man who worked very hard to get to this position, this religion, this religious order. He says in verse number 6, concerning zeal, you want to talk about zeal? Let me tell you what I did. I persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. The Bible says that Paul had so much zeal for what he was trying to accomplish that he persecuted God's church. He killed Christians because he thought this is what God wanted him to do. So being zealous is one thing. This is not what the Bible's talking about. We're talking about being zealous for the right things. We're talking about being zealous in our walk with God. We're talking about 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. Being zealous toward the right things in your Christian life is what's going to benefit eternity for you. So what does the Bible teach us about being zealous? First of all, number one, if you're taking notes, why do Christians lack a zeal for God? Why do Christians lack a zeal for God? Well, number one, I touched on this. This is the right kind of zeal. It's because, number one, they don't know God. They don't know God. If a person has never been saved, if a person has never been born again, he will never have a passion for worshiping God. No, don't miss this. In spirit and in truth. You see, there are a lot of people that go through the motions within religion trying to gain God's attention. But Jesus made it clear that the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. Spirit being born again, and in truth, well, Jesus is the truth. He is the way to eternal life. And so the Bible says that the reason why people don't have a passion for worshiping God in spirit and in truth is because they don't know the Lord. They are not saved. They have not been made alive. They don't have eternal life found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they have zeal, but their zeal is for the wrong things. We're talking about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, the reason why people don't have zeal or a lack of zeal is because they do not know the Lord. Number two, it's because that which should be precious in their life has become too familiar. That which should be precious in their life has become too familiar. Oftentimes, we see this within the family unit. I often hear parents say this to their kids. You wouldn't talk to your teacher like you talk to me. Why is that the case? Well, because the child is comfortable, number one, around their parents. And number two, because many times what they're familiar with, they take it for granted. And the Bible warns us about this. It warns us about this. Heard the story of a police officer who jumps into a squad car and calls into the station. He said, I have an interesting case here. He says, a woman shot her husband for stepping on the floor she just mopped. And the station said, well, did you arrest her? And he said, not yet. The floor's still wet. The reality is that we surround ourselves with the familiar and we become comfortable. And the Bible says that we are not to neglect the gift that is in thee. In other words, the Bible warns us over and over and over again to be careful about being comfortable Christians, to getting into, I talked about it this morning, the routine of the Christian life and just going through the motions and not having a dynamic walk with God. And listen, friend, every single Christian here tonight is guilty of that at a time in their life and is in danger of that even tonight. Because it's easy for us to just go through the motion. And so Paul says, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, neglect not so great a salvation. Oftentimes we use that to preach on salvation, but that's written to a Christian. It's not rejecting a great salvation, it's neglecting a great salvation. And the Bible teaches us that we need to be careful because we become comfortable Christians. The reality is our great enemy, the devil, he can't steal your salvation away. But he wants to make you forget what it's like to be lost. He wants you to make it, he wants to try to get you to be sidetracked in your Christian life, to grow accustomed to prayer, and therefore just not pray. To be accustomed to worship, and therefore not treat the Bible with respect the way that it ought to be. God wants us to be so familiar. Or the devil wants us to take for granted the familiar in our life. But God teaches us over and over and over again that we must treat it as precious. And the same is true with our family. You know, you talk to someone who just lost a loved one and they'll tell you that they took them for granted while they were alive. And if they could just have one moment to talk with them today, they have much to say to them. And oftentimes in our Christian life, that's how we live our Christian life. And this is why our zeal begins to flicker out, because that which should be precious becomes way too familiar. We just go through the routine of the Christian life, and we want to make sure that we don't do that. Always work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and work hard to grow and to take more steps. And don't get comfortable in your Christian life. Always look for other ways to grow and to step out by faith and to stretch that faith to be a Christian, to glorify the Lord. When you read about the church at Laodicea, they were a church that were a lukewarm church. And the Lord Jesus said, because you're not hot or cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Listen, the Lord wants us to be a church and a Christian that has zeal and passion and desire. He wants us to be a Christian that's excited about when a soul gets saved. Is excited about when someone makes a decision for the Lord. Is excited when we find a truth in the Bible that is relevant for our life today and the decisions of our life today. And all of this happens in our lives, and yet we just go through the routines of our Christian life. And that zeal begins to flicker and burns out. Thirdly, I want us to think about the reason why we lack a zeal for God. It's because we live in a me-first society. We live in a me-first society. We live in a society today where we don't have to wait for things. You know, we've thrown instant in front of everything. Because our society doesn't want to wait for anything. I mean, if you're in a drive-thru and there's five cars and someone takes more than a minute to get a coffee, the world's coming to an end. Always find the spiritual ones. The reality is that our society is me first. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You can have it now with 350 equal payment plans. But you can have it now. It's only 36% interest, but hey, you can have it now. And that's all that people hear is now. I don't have to wait. I can have it now. This me-first society has affected work in schools, homes, church. I mean, the reality is people in churches, They're looking for what pleases them, what helps them, what benefits them. I mentioned a couple of Sundays ago, the seeker-sensitive movement, which goes around to communities and asks people what they want in a church. And they're so busy trying not to offend people that they forget about offending the one that matters, God. What does God want in the church? What does God desire for his church? The reality is God designed the church to benefit our life, not to satisfy our fleshly desires. And our me-first society has creeped into the Christian life because we are so self-involved that everything becomes around us. And if we don't benefit, then we don't want to get excited about it. And this is so sad. This is so sad. The reality is, the Bible says, if any man will follow the Lord, he must first, say it with me, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow the Lord. Deny ourselves. Boy, is that tough to do. To say no to me. And it goes against everything I was taught in school. I was raised in the generation that they were saying to us, you first, you first. It's all about you. It's all about your life. It's all about what you want. This is what I was taught as a teenager. This was ingrained in my mind. It is about you. And when you read the Bible, I find out it's not about me. It's about him. It's about Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's about for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The reality is it's all about the Lord who is manifest in my life and revealed in my life, who makes my life worth living, who gives me success and victory. It's not about me. It's about him. And when we get the attention on ourselves, the flame for the things of God begin to flicker out, begin to disappear. And that's why the hymn writer so wonderfully penned, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full on his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let me give you another thought. We lose our zeal because the longer we've been saved, we fight this desire to follow after ourselves. We fight this desire to focus on the Lord. The longer that we are a Christian, the longer that we are saved, the more easy it is for us to become apathetic in our life. You remember the first time that you were a Christian and that passion? I remember my son when he first got saved, Alan. He's almost 13 now. And I'll never forget this as long as I have life upon this earth. The very first thing he said after he prayed and asked the Lord to save him, my wife led him to the Lord, and I came home from work, and he looked at me and said, what about Brandon? Is he going to heaven? The very first thing that he said was, I'm concerned about my brother. Do you think the devil put that in his heart? That was the Holy Spirit that did that, right? And he was excited, and we are excited when we got saved, and we have that zeal, but it's so easy to wane from that. And here's the reason why. Because when others around us are not as excited, sometimes it can dim the flame. And that is why it's important for us to be excited about the Christian life. First of all, for younger Christians, we want them to see that, hey, listen, what we believe is real. And we're excited to be here because Jesus is alive and he's within my heart and I'm glad to be a Christian. We want others to know that, hey, he lives. He lives. We want our children to know that we're not just going through the motions of the Christian life, but this is real and this is worth getting excited about. And zeal spreads when people are excited. When my wife and I, several years ago, we went to a hockey game. And my wife can't stand hockey. She hates it with a passion. And I talked her in maybe one time in our marriage to watch a hockey game. And she was just sitting on her phone the whole time. She could care less what was happening. But I brought her to this hockey game, and it was you may have heard the team, the Toronto Maple Leafs. And hard to be passionate about them now, isn't it? So I brought them to this game, and I told her, I said, before we entered the arena, we had been given tickets, and I said to her, I know you don't like hockey, but I said, I want you to know when they score a goal, you will cheer. I guarantee it, you will cheer. And she's like, nah, I don't really care about it. I said, listen, you will cheer. And it took a while for them to score a goal, by the way. But I think it was late in the third period they finally scored a goal. And sure enough, she was jumping up in the air and she was cheering and she could care less about that team. She didn't even know what color they were wearing, but she was excited. Do you know why? Everyone around her was excited. And zeal spreads. And the same is true with a church. When we are excited, and don't go around looking at other people and say, you be excited. No, you be excited. And if we all are accountable and we all look at our own life and say, hey, listen, I want to fan that flame. I want to be excited about what God is doing, then we'll be okay. We'll be okay. If we all look at our own life, we'll be okay. But the Bible teaches us as we grow older in our spiritual life, it's easy for us to become apathetic in our Christian life. And yet we want to make sure that we keep on with that zeal for the Lord. Number two, let me give you this as we look at the importance of having zeal. Number two, why zeal for God should be our priority. Why having zeal should be our priority. Number one, I want us to turn to Titus chapter 2 in our Bibles. Titus chapter 2. And that is simply this: God desires believers to have zeal. He wants us to be zealous. He wants us to be a zealous Christian. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus who gave himself. This is Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto a peculiar people. The thought there, peculiar, is the idea of being owned. We are an owned people. In other words, we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we are a peculiar people owned by the Lord, and we are to be a Christian zealous of good works. Now, understand the difference of an individual who tries to work for their salvation. That person, they're trying to earn God's approval by what they do. A Christian who is saved, they don't go trying to earn God's approval. They have found God's approval in Jesus Christ, all right? We are already seated in heavenly places. If I never lift a hand or a finger and serve the Lord one time, I will lose rewards in heaven, but I'm not going to go to hell. My salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus. I've done nothing to earn it. I can do nothing to lose it. I am safe in the Father's hand. But we serve and we do good works not to be saved, but because we are saved. Jesus called this the law of love. We serve because we love. Paul said it is the love of God that constraineth us. We serve him because we love him. And we are to be excited to serve him. We're to be excited for good works. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 teaches us that we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has ordained that the Christian walk in good works. We are to be zealous of good works. We are to serve the Lord because we are redeemed. And that ought to make us excited. I mean, we get to serve the Lord. We get to serve the Creator God. In fact, the Bible says this: you are a laborer together with God. You are serving not for the Lord, you're serving with the Lord. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And so the Bible teaches us that we should be zealous because God desires passionate believers. God wants us to be excited about serving Him. I mean, you enter into a workplace, you're a boss of 20 people, and you walk in, you say, crew, today we get to work really hard at this certain thing, and we get to do this, and we get to, let's say, build a house, and they're kind of just like, yeah, whatever, whatever. I mean, that doesn't excite you. God is excited when His children are excited to serve Him. And He wants us to be zealous. He wants us to be excited to serve Him. Number two, we have to ask ourselves this question. As we think of the priority of serving the Lord, what is our treasure? What is our treasure? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. So the reason why I say we need to be zealous and it's a priority, because it reveals for us our treasure. It's an interesting thought. Jesus lays it out for us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. Look what he says. He says, well, let's go to verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is Jesus talking about? Jesus is saying you are going to be passionate about what is most important to you. Your treasure reveals your heart. Your treasure reveals your heart. You know, people are excited about a lot of different things in our world today. People are excited about their careers. They're excited about their job, and that's all good. People are excited about sports. They're excited about hobbies. They're excited about, I don't know, you name it. They're excited about it. People are excited about a lot of things. And I find it interesting that when it comes to spiritual things, we kind of just like, eh. Yet the Bible teaches us an important principle that where your heart is, or where your treasure is, your heart will follow. And the reality is, it reveals what we love and what means much to us. What are we zealous about today? Ask yourself that question. What am I zealous about? What am I excited about in my life? Is church, is God, is the Bible, is your Christian growth, is being a mature Christian a part of that? I'm zealous about living for God. I'm zealous about learning something in the Bible that God will help me with. People say, Pastor Burns, you know, I read the Bible and, you know, I don't understand everything I read. That's okay. That's okay. You know, don't be so concerned about what you don't understand when you read the Bible. Be concerned about what you do understand and don't do. That's what you need to be concerned about. Because God gives you light to take another step, and until you learn that lesson, God won't give you more light. And you can get knowledge, and you can get understanding, and you can memorize the books of the Bible, and all that's good, but there's a truth that God has for you. If you're a Christian, God has a truth for you today. He wants you to learn, and until you learn that, He's not going to give you more light. And so you need to be zealous about that. You say, Pastor Burns, what is that truth for my life? Well, the Bible says if you don't have light, then wake up, thou that sleepeth, and God will give you light. I say to you, if you don't have a present truth, as Peter says, a present truth, then you need to get in the Bible and seek the face of God and say, Lord, what do I need to do to take another step in my Christian life? That ought to be your passion today. That ought to be what we are zealous about. I want to say this, that being zealous changes people. It truly does. It truly does. It changes people around us. It changed my wife from not being a Maple Leaf fan to becoming a Maple Leaf fan. Too far? The reality is that when other people are excited, it spreads. It spreads. It helps people to see that we serve a true God and we're excited to serve the Lord. Let me say this, zeal protects us from sin. It protects us from sin. When did David get into trouble? He got in trouble when he decided to set out from the battle. He should have been doing what God called him to do. Because of the lack of zeal for God's will and God's nation, what does David do? He turns away from God's plan and he gets involved in things he shouldn't have gotten involved in. I'm saying keep your eyes on the Lord and be excited about what God is doing in your life. Number three, and I'll be done. How do we regain our zeal for God? Someone, their fire maybe is flickering. They're not as excited as they used to be. You say, Pastor Burns, how do I regain that flame? I want to be excited again. Well, number one, I'm going to say get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Read the Bible. I encourage you to get into the Bible and let the Bible get into you. Read the Word of God. It's a living book. It's a powerful book. It knows you better than you know yourself. Follow the Spirit's guidance in your life. Before I open the Bible for my devotions every morning, I always pray and ask the Lord to show me myself, show me who I am, show me my direction, and show me areas of my life I need to be changed. But I also say, Lord, I want you to use your word to guide me and to make me clean. The Bible teaches us this. And so ask God to help you as you read the Bible, that God, the Spirit of God, would give you direction and give to you truths that you need. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And to be spiritually minded is to follow the influence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God controls us, our treasure will be right. You know why? Because the Bible says, they that delight in the Lord, guess what's going to happen? He's going to give thee the desires of your heart. And when you delight yourself in the Lord, when the Spirit of God is influencing you, the reality is his treasure becomes your treasure. What is important to him is important to you. Your will lines with his will. His desire becomes your desire. And this is where we need to be. Pray for passion. Pray for passion. You know, prayer is so important. People say, well, you know, prayer is a part of your Christian life. Prayer is your Christian life. You know, the Bible teaches us in John chapter 17 that eternal life is knowing the Lord Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus and the Father, and talking with him is that relationship. The very fact that you can talk to God, the Creator God that made you, the very fact you can talk to him and he listens to what you say, is the greatest privilege in all the world. Nothing compares to that. That God listens to you is the greatest thing in all the world. That ought to get you excited right there. I mean, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. He made the hills. He made everything. And when you talk, not only does he listen, but he wants to hear you speak. He wants to hear your concerns. He wants to hear your burdens. It's a wonderful blessing. Prayer is so important. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray for passion. In Psalm 51, a great psalm, David gets his heart right with God. Bible scholars believe that David was living in sin for about 1 year when he finally got his heart right with God. I mean, he was a miserable man. And as he's pouring out his heart to God, in Psalm 51, he says these words, Lord, return unto me the joy of my salvation. You know, eternal life should be a happy thing. It should bring joy. It should bring zeal. It should be something with passion. It's not misery. It's mercy. It should be a happy thing that we are a child of the King. And so ask God to give you that passion. return to our first love as revealed to us in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, where the Bible says to repent and to do. The reality is that we are to return to the Lord's direction and guidance in our life and ask the Lord to help us to restore that zeal in our life. You know, apathy is a condition of the mind, and apathy is also a condition of the heart. You know, the Bible teaches us this, to consider Him, that's the Lord Jesus, lest ye faint in your mind. In other words, when people become apathetic in the things of the Lord, it first begins in the mind, and then it travels to the heart. God says this, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do it with everything you have, with joy and with gladness, with passion, with zeal, because you are serving the Lord Christ. And it's the greatest privilege that we have. So what about you today? Where's your zeal level? Are you heading in the right direction? Or maybe that fire, that flame is starting to flicker out. Is your zeal for the right things? Is your will aligned with God's will? God help us today. Let me ask you this important question. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? You say, Pastor Burns, I have a zeal, but it's for the wrong things. I've been working really hard to try to gain God's favor, and I've realized that I can't do it. I can't do it. Listen, friend, the Bible says, and I love this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, today you need to take your confidence off yourself and place your confidence on the Lord Jesus. God help us today to be excited because we're a part of the greatest thing in all the world. We truly are. We're a part of God's family. We're a part of His army. And guess what? I read the end of the book, and we win. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for all you've done for us. And Lord, forgive us for times we've become sidetracked. Forgive us, Lord, for being excited about everything except you. And Lord, I pray you would help us in our Christian life not to be apathetic. Lord, help us to be zealous. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you've given to us. Thank you for saving our souls. And thank you for the opportunity that we can come together in your name because of it. Heavenly Father, I pray for us. He's Christian here. I pray that you would help us. Lord, I know that there's a devil. I know that sometimes the storms of life can get us down, the difficulties of life. But Lord, I pray you would help us, all of us, to keep our eyes on you. Lord, I pray you would help us to be zealous unto good works. And Father, if there's an individual here tonight that is not a Christian, they do not know you as their Lord and Savior. If they were to die tonight, they'd go to hell. And Lord, I pray that you would work in their hearts. I pray that they would come to the knowledge of the truth and that they would put their trust in you. Lord, we're so thankful again for all you've done for us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.